Good evening. I think we have extras. Left it back there. It's good to see everyone here tonight. I'd like to kind of apologize to Matthew. He asked me, what kind of songs do you have? And I said, I don't even know what my sermon is, but I think I have it figured out now. And yesterday kind of helped. Yesterday I was purchasing some horses. And horses are quite stubborn. And we were trying to get them onto the trailer, and the mama hadn't been on a trailer in 3 years, and the baby was born on the property and never been on a trailer either. So imagine trying to move two 1,200-pound horses onto a trailer, and all you have is a rope and a little bit of treats. Didn't work too well. So we gave up that idea, and I go back over this afternoon, and we try again. The mama got on the trailer. Baby's like, nope, not going. I'm gonna stand right here, and you can feed me all day long. I got all day. And I was thinking, how often are we stubborn in our lives? How often do we say, nope, not going to do it. I don't care how good it's going to be for me. I don't care what you have to offer. Not going to do it. This morning, Darren's lesson was about the vine and the branches, and we are to be the branches. And we are to allow God to prune us and to shape us into what He would have for us to be. We cannot go about our lives thinking we can sustain ourselves. We are not self-sufficient humans with no need for a guide. We need God to guide us, to grow us, to prune us. And my lesson this morning isn't necessarily a piggyback to his lesson. But can we say that the whole Bible is a piggyback of itself? My topic this morning, if you haven't figured out, is about stubbornness. And oh boy, can't we all be a little stubborn in our lives? And if you're sitting in that seat and you're saying, not stubborn, you've already started this path the wrong way. And you're being stubborn by saying you're not being stubborn. There we go. Stubborn as a mule. And I find it very interesting that it actually in Psalms 32 verse 9 it says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Horses don't understand reasoning. The mule can be very stubborn. Even in Psalms, we are heeded to not be as the horse or the mule. How often are we stubborn with God? When it comes to following God's commands, we should not be stubborn. We must not turn our heads away and stiffen our neck. We must learn to yield and be pliable in His hands. Be God. Be what God wants us to be. Be who God wants us to be. Pharaoh, a famously stubborn person. In Exodus 7, verse 13 and 14, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord has said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Pharaoh's proud. Pharaoh thought he had a right to keep God's people. How many times in our life do we think we have a right to do something? Or a right to have a certain view about something? And no matter how many times people tell us, you're wrong, you need to listen a little, do we often say, nah, I'm sorry, what'd you say? I don't care. It doesn't matter because my right is right. My way is right. I myself get that way sometimes. Maybe you're raised a certain way and you've done things a certain way for your whole life. And that's the only way. Or maybe this congregation has done something a certain way for so many years, and for someone to change it, well, no, I'm just going to be stubborn. We can't do that. What about Israel? You know, they leave Egypt. God said, I will take care of you. I just parted a giant sea for you to cross. They rebelled against God over and over, turning away from his love and protection. You know, often think about it, if the Israelites would have been 100% to God all those years, how much different would maybe even change who we are today? But so many times they failed to accept God and his protection. And how many times did they end up right back where they were? End up back with nothing. Not because it wasn't there, but because they were stubborn. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 13 and 14, Furthermore, the Lord said to me, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stubborn people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. The Old Testament tells us very clearly the sad history of the Jews who stubbornly turned their backs on God, forgot his works, disobeyed his laws, and followed strange gods. In Deuteronomy 9, Moses recounts Israel's stubbornness concerning the golden calf that they made on Mount Sinai. And at that time, God had told Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are stubborn. God's anger was so great that he considered destroying the people completely for their stubborn, stiff-necked ways. Stubborn meaning in Hebrew is to turn away, rebellious, backsliding. I believe some translations even use stiff-necked. You know, it's easy for us to sit in our pews in America and say, man, those Israelites, if they would have just known what they had, if they would have just obeyed, if they weren't so stubborn, they would have had anything and everything. You know, as we see later, they straightened up and they got the land of Canaan. But how many times do we sit here and think, I mean, I do it myself. Those guys, you know, you just read through the whole Bible. You know, that Pharaoh, if he would have just done what was right, he could have gone to heaven, just let the people go, it's no big deal. If there was a book written about us, or if we had a paparazzi following us around, what would be our label? Would we be stubborn people that they look back in 100, 200 years and be like, Uncle Josh, he sure was a stubborn guy. We truly need to look at our lives and not just read about the Israelites and about Pharaoh being stubborn. We need to be able to apply them to our life. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 21, "Then the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst, and Israel shall hear and fear." You know, God considers stubbornness so great of sin that he included what seems today to be an overly harsh punishment for a stubborn and rebellious son. How many of us as kids would have been stoned for the things that we did as kids? Thankfully, we do not fall under the old law. If a son refused to obey his parents, would not respond to discipline, and led a dissolute life, the parents were to bring him to the elders of the city, and all the men of his town are to stone him to death. It says, "You must purge the evil from among you." Stubbornness and defiance of God and his ordained authority is a serious offense, one that can spread like poison through a community. The Mosaic law against stubbornness was designed to stop that spread. What about the New Testament? We see more examples of stubbornness. When Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, the Pharisees' hardness of heart grieved and angered Jesus. Instead of praising the Lord for his healing power and acknowledging their Messiah, the Pharisees' rebellious hearts caused them to try and kill him. As Stephen was closing his speech before the Sanhedrin, he upbraided them for their foolhardy stubbornness. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." This first one, Mark 3, verse 1 through 6, we'll read that one first. "Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal them on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of hearts, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." They were stubborn people. And then, as I said in Acts 7, verse 51, "You stiff-necked people, in your hearts and ears, you have always resisted the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." You know, as Stephen was telling them this, you know, maybe he was referring back to the Israelites. "You're stubborn. Don't make the same mistakes." And as we read Stephen's words some 2,000 years later, I think they still apply to us. Don't be like the Israelites. Don't be stubborn like they were. In Acts 19, verse 9, "But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. When Paul preached to the Jews in Corinth, they continued to reject the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. For 3 months, Paul reasoned with them in the synagogue, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly blatanted the way. Acts 19, verse 9. As a result, Paul took the disciples and left the rejectors of the good news in their stubbornness and unbelief. You know, this is a good application to us. You know, as we go out into the community, we preach the word, and these people don't be converted. They don't follow God. They don't listen to what you have to say. I might call you a few names. We have to remember, they rejected Jesus. They rejected the apostles. But what they ultimately were doing was rejecting God. There are going to be stubborn people, Christians and non-Christians. We as humans are very stubborn. So we have a choice to make. Unfortunately, this is the fate that awaits all those who persist in rejecting Christ. God will eventually turn them over to the hardness of their hearts and no longer plead with them. The sad result of such mulish obstinance is made clear in Romans 2, verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Because of your stubbornness the wrath of God will be upon you. We have but one life to live. One life to get our priorities straight. Are we going to continue to be stubborn? For how long? Are we going to have a stubborn heart? Are we going to sit here in our pews and say, I'm not stubborn? Walk out those back doors tonight. Drive away. Hope that we make it home safe. Hope that we don't die in our sleep. Hope that we wake up tomorrow, because there's always an opportunity tomorrow, right? There's always a chance next month. I've got things to do right now. I've got a horse to ride. There's always something that we can make excuses for. But when it comes down to it, we're just being stubborn. This coming year, we have a new preacher. Are we going to be stubborn? Are we going to support Jeb and his work? Are we going to have willingness to set aside all pride and become a Christian? Understanding we may not be living as we should as Christians, and changing your life for the better. This morning we had an announcement by the men who our preacher is going to be. And there might be a few that said, he didn't pick my guy. I'm upset. That might be fair. But are we going to be stubborn and say, I'm not going to work with this guy? Or I'm not going to show up to church because I'm not happy. We need to make sure that we're not being stubborn about this decision. We need to make sure that as we have a new preacher come in and he's going to present lessons that might step on our toes. And that's a good thing. Are we going to be stubborn? Or are we truly going to be as Christians would and truly look at our lives? Make sure that we're living as a Christian would live and be that branch, as was talked about this morning, that produces fruit. We need not to be stubborn as Israel was by constantly rejecting God. We need not to be stubborn like Pharaoh, who obviously did not know the power of God. And thought he was higher than God. I encourage us all this year to look at our lives. Maybe even tonight. If you're stubborn and you don't want to get out of your pew to be baptized because you're not a Christian, there's no reason to be stubborn for that. Or maybe you're already a Christian. And maybe you're, too proud, I guess would be the word, to come forward, to let the congregation know that you need help. That's just being stubborn. We all have our own lives to answer for in the end, and we can't blame our stubbornness on anyone else. If there's anything we can do for you, if you would like to be baptized, or if you're already a Christian and you've allowed stubbornness to come between you and God, I would encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.